Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
The real reason Randy Orton won the WWE Championship from Drew McIntyre at last night's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view has been revealed, folks. He is going to be facing Edge. That's the current plan, as reported by the Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. This has been something going on for quite some time now. They've said that the idea has always been to get the belt onto Randy for either one of two purposes. Either for that third rubber match against Edge, which would take place at WrestleMania once Edge is fit to return, hopefully around Royal Rumble time. Or so Drew can win it back from Randy in front of fans. Either of those could still happen. Raw is rewritten on the day most of the time. WWE, especially on Monday nights, don't seem to know what they're going to do tomorrow, let alone 6 months from now. But as of right now, the reasoning behind Randy beating Drew in the main event of Hell in a Cell after three matches together in their series is because he'll be facing Edge at WrestleMania. I'm Mr. Yeah. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. And not only that, we are sponsored by beer, folks. Sweet, delicious beer. Go over to beer52.com/WrestleTalk. There's a link right there where you can get a case of 8 free craft beers, a little packet of nuts or snacks, and a magazine. It's amazing. We'll be doing
it's such great quality.
I'll be tucking into one of these shortly for a little live tasting. But please do go over there. Support us. Support Beer 52. Don't support Luke Owen. He's a jabroni.
Are you going to tucker into that and turn heel on Otis the same way that you turned heel on the SWAF Nation?
Nope. Didn't turn heel. Just one. No, thank you. Anyway, let's talk about Orton versus McIntyre first off. It was the third Hell in a Cell match of the evening. It was the third match between Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. I just got done listening to Dave Meltzer. He said this was his favorite match of the night. He said he loved it. I don't know if it's just Hell in a Cell fatigue by that point in the show, but I found it. I didn't hate it, but it was definitely the weakest of the three Hell in a Cell matches. I didn't feel like the others went long, although they were long. This one dragged for me. They were all half an hour, but this one was the only one that dragged. I found it quite contrived.
Yeah, we got an email in from someone who said that he found Hell in a Cell to be like, if you were going through the fridge and you thought, oh man, all my Hell in a Cells are going off, so I need to eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That'll be fine, because I love Hell in a Cells, and I could quite happily have three of them in a day. So you have it for breakfast, nom nom nom, delicious, this is great. You have it for lunch, nom nom nom, this is delicious. By the time you get to dinner, you're like, I am a little bit sick of eating Hell in a Cells though, and I'd like to have something different now. And I think that because there was only, you know, there was really five matches on this show, I'm not sure we can really count Lashley versus Slapnuts as a, as an actual match. Don't pull that face.
Come on, Retribution are a main event team. Everyone loves them. They're definitely presented like a top-tier act in the company.
Dude, we got so many super chats in during the live stream last night that were just like, hey, what about if this person's revealed as the real leader of Retribution? Or the other one was like, hey, what if the Fiend takes over Retribution and they become his minions? And I'm like, the last thing the Fiend needs is bloody minions running around. But like with this match, I think this would have been fine, much better received, had it not been the main event, because it had to follow the incredible Roman Reigns Jey Uso match. It had to follow the incredible Bayley Sasha Banks match. And because it hasn't had as good a story told going in, it was never going to be as good as those two incredible matches. It was always really going to struggle. And when we were watching it, we kept saying, there's got to be a reason this is the main event. It was. Do you know what it reminded me of? The Raw after Mania last year when you and I were watching.
No,
there's got to be a reason.
It was no way near as bad as The Bar.
Well, no, it wasn't quite.
It's got to be Undisputed Era, surely.
Well, that's it. That's what we kept saying.
Against Seth Rollins and Kofi Kingston.
But it wasn't just us that were, you know, saying it this way. Like, you know, it wasn't just me, Nugget, and Louis. The chat was all saying, Miz is cashing in. The only reason this is the main event is because Miz is cashing in. They've got to be saving for a big angle. It's the only thing that makes sense as to why this is the main event.
That would imply WWE knew how they were going to use Miz. They don't know that. They just needed to get it off of Otis because they knew less what to do with him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, and that's what I think kind of like took me out of the match a lot, because you were kind of like, all I was doing was just questioning, why is this the main event? Like, if it was just a title change, put Bayley Banks there. And if it was just because you wanted a big match, you wanted a big moment at the end, you put Roman Jey there. Like, Roman Jey should have been the main event of this show. And if you wanted that to be the opener, then Banks and Bayley should have been the main event of this show. This had no business being the main event.
Do you think there's a term-based argument to this? Do you think WWE thought, well, SmackDown got Clash of Champions with Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, despite that being a very predictable match? No one thought Jey was going to win, there or here. But the strength of the story, the drama was so good that it definitely deserved that slot in the end. So because SmackDown got that one, then they're like, oh, okay, well, we use a Raw match to end Hell in a Cell.
You'd think, but like, as many people point out, this was Drew's first main event as champion. And ironically, it was his last. He hasn't actually main evented a show since becoming champion. He's always been like the sort of the undercard match.
Not even the heady days of him versus Dolph Ziggler.
Apparently not. Apparently, this is according to Nugget, this is what Nugget told me, and I can't really remember, but apparently he hasn't had a main event all year as champion.
I feel like definitely there was a Raw exclusive pay-per-view this year.
I mean, technically, Louis was wrong, because he did main event WrestleMania for a second time, beating The Big Show.
Yeah.
So
yeah, main evented, you know, it twice.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is. So technically, I suppose he did. But yeah, it was weird that this was the main event, and it did drag, particularly when they went up on the top of the cell. My favorite moment of that is they go up the top of the cell and Randy Orton beats them up with a lightsaber for a bit. And then he starts climbing down. And Samoa Joe says, in all seriousness, Randy Orton accomplished what he set out to do up the top of that cell. I was like, what did he achieve?
Right, this is what I don't understand either. So just to give you a sort of play, not a play-by-play, but a sharp review of the match, it was Drew and Randy fighting around the cage for a bit because, you know, everything else, the previous two matches, had done all the spots inside the cell. So Drew and Randy, I guess, tried to do something different by using outside the cell a lot more. So they did that initially because Randy jumped Drew during his entrance, dressed as another janitor or a member of Retribution or one of Akira Tozawa's ninjas. And there they scuffled in the ring. And then Randy gets the bolt cutters that he'd hidden underneath the ring. Ooh, he's hearing voices in his head. Surely he's got a dastardly plan. Randy walks up the ramp after getting out of the cage using the bolt cutters. I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm a bit intrigued now. He's luring Drew to the back. Are we going to get another night vision sequence? I was a bit excited. And then Randy starts climbing up the cage. Drew goes up there as well. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe Randy's got a plan to beat up Drew, like a big spot throwing him off the cage. I don't really want that to happen, but maybe they filmed something in advance to make that very, very safe in the Thunderdome era. Maybe that's why this is main eventing. But no, they get up there and Randy produces from the top of the cage this red pipe. How did he see it? On the red cell. What a camouflaged pipe. He gets it and Drew immediately kicks him and doesn't get to use it. But I'm just thinking, you know what else would have accomplished what the pipe would have? The bolt cutters that Randy hid in the ring. He could have just used the bolt cutters to hit Drew over the head with. He didn't have to then chop open the door to get up to the top of the cell to use an implement that has the exact same effect as the thing he used to get out. It's like there's a scene in Jumanji, one of my favorite scenes in all of cinema, where the little monkey boy, he's turning into a monkey. He needs an axe to free Robin Williams from the floor because the floor turns into quicksand. Robin Williams goes through, but it stops midway. And he's now like trapped half in the floor. And he's like, okay, I need to get an axe. Monkey boy runs outside. But the shed's locked. He's trying to get in the shed where there's an axe. So he picks up an axe and he just he's about to open the door. But then he looks at the axe. He's like, oh no, I've got an axe right here. That's what this needed to be.
So in a kayfabe world, this is my rationalizing behind this. And this was actually the rationalizing I gave it in the night as well. Randy went up on top of the cell because Randy's been there before. And he was goading Drew into that because this was Drew's first ever Hell in a Cell match. So mm-hmm. Randy was mind gaming Drew to be like, hey, if you want to come up here, this is my realm. You're in my yard now. I've been in 50 million of these matches over the last 15 years. You've never been in one, you jobber. So, it was goading him up to go up there. That's what I thought it was. But then, as I said, he hit him with a lightsaber and then went down again. So they could do the spot when you fall off on the outside, which was, it was pretty good, but it's fine. Bear in mind, it's a pre-taped thing. You could have pre-taped a massive big stunt and made it look wicked.
It's, someone going off the side of the cage halfway up, which Drew did. That's a little bit higher than the top turnbuckle. To go off that through an announcer's table, a guy of Drew's size as well, that's got to suck. That's a painful thing to do to your body. Unfortunately, it doesn't actually count for anything these days. It wasn't like a big, oh my God, spot. I've seen everything and more in Hell in a Cell matches. So it's a shame. And then, Drew and Randy have a little bit of an exciting bit in the end where Drew hits a claymore off the back of that and Randy spills to the outside. Randy dodges a second claymore, hits the RKO. That's what I wanted this feud to be about. I wanted it to be about the two finishers that are hit from out of nowhere. And that's the story they started to tell at the start of this feud. It was all about finishers. And in that SummerSlam match, nobody hit them. And Drew won with a backslide. All of that stuff played into this finish. But we haven't had that story told. Instead, we've had Randy Orton wearing night vision goggles to beat up legends. Or Keith Lee.
The legends coming back to help Drew.
So it's just such a shame. It suffers from a muddled story, really. This and Randy as WWE champion, which is the landscape we've been left with. This is what we were all crying out for 2 months ago, because Randy has been the hottest main event act in WWE since he turned heel on Edge in January. And he has been spectacular, doing the best work in his career. And him as WWE champion is exciting. But WWE, in their usual way, specifically, this is a specifically Raw problem right now, has made it. So we're all a bit bored of him.
Yes. So Randy Orton was so hot in the summer, right? Like, that was the point. If you wanted to make Randy Orton champion, SummerSlam was the time to do it. He was white hot as a heel. So, so hot. The time not to put the belt on Randy Orton is after you've beaten him 3 pay-per-views in a row. Because it does nothing for Orton. Well, no, you beat Keith Lee beat him.
Oh, yeah, good point.
He lost at SummerSlam, he lost at Payback, lost at Clash of Champions, and then he beats Drew McIntyre at Hell in a Cell. So it does nothing for Orton because he's lost three pay-per-views straight. And it does nothing for Drew because he couldn't beat the guy who lost three pay-per-views straight. So I felt like no one got over out of this. And I think I probably would have been, you know, like Randy Orton's champion, fine, you know, you all just get on with your lives. But I was more put off by him being champion because Miz won earlier in the night. And all I was looking at was just like, man, like Randy Orton is WWE champion. Miz is the Money in the Bank contract. 2010 was 10 years ago, and this company has not moved on. This would be like, and I said this on the Fightful post show with Sean last night, this would have been like in 1998 if the WWF had rerun angles from 1988 with the same people. But they didn't, because at that point they were like, we need to move on. We need to create some new stars. And WWE has got an abundance of new stars that they could create. They've got so much great talent. And what we've gone back to is bloody Randy Orton and The Miz 1 month out from the 10-year anniversary of Miz cashing in Money in the Bank and winning the WWE title from Randy Orton, which, you know, it falls on Survivor Series night. That 10-year anniversary falls on the night of Survivor Series. 10 years ago. It's a decade ago. I was 24 when that happened.
They're going to be on the same team, aren't they? They're both going to be Team Raw, and Miz is going to be looking, and well, John Morrison's going to be jobbed out.
Surely Randy Orton's going to be facing Roman Reigns.
I don't know. Sometimes they do. It's not always champion versus champion. Sometimes you get brand warfare of teams.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like board games? Then you'll love Phenomena, a channel all about the best board games your money can buy. Do you not like board games? Then you'll love Phenomena, a channel all about why you're f***ing wrong. If the only game you've played is Monopoly, a bad game, with your family, a bad family, we're here to show you all the good times you and your friends are missing out on. We'll teach you the different types of board games out there, great ones to start your collection, how to host gaming nights, how to teach your friends rules. We'll have deep dives into classic games, crazy stories from board gaming history, drunk board gaming, and so much more. At Phenomenerds, we consider it our sacred duty to get you into the greatest hobby in the world, no matter what level you currently are. So subscribe to Phenomenerds now and get on board.
But let's see what you guys all thought. Anthony Velasquez says, I honestly fell asleep watching the Drew Orton match. It was definitely the weakest of the Hell in a Cell matches, and it was way too long.
That's a really good way to put it, Anthony. It wasn't a bad match, but it was certainly the weakest of the three Hell in a Cell matches on that night.
I mean, it's trite at this point, but you should not be having multiple Hell in a Cell matches on the same show. We can blame TNA for this. They had such success with lockdown. WWE created stipulation-themed pay-per-views. Wrestling is Great sometimes says, Jey versus Roman, the main focus was storytelling. Orton versus Drew, the main focus was the old-school style, but Sasha and Bayley was just another level because they focused on everything and killed it. Easily 5 stars.
It was my match of the night.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it was my match of the night.
It's incredible. Those two matches, two of my favorite WWE matches of the year. Easy. Mayor of Painesville, Dan. The Miz was Mr. Money in the Bank 2010. I was 16 back then. Don't lie, Dan. You were 2. And now I am 26 and close to retirement. How time flies.
Louis was 10 years old when The Miz was WWE champion. He's now at university. He's now nearly finished university. It's that long ago.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. So as usual, Raw pay-per-view was poor and SmackDown pay-per-view was great. The difference in Luke from after Roman Uso to the end of the show was stark. High up to really low. And you, jam that champion. Hashtag Wrestling Daily. Some Wrestling Daily love. We'll have Louis and Alex McCarthy tonight at 9 p.m. Sorry, UK time, doing all their Hell in a Cell reaction stuff and all the backstage news, I imagine, because they are in the know.
Indeed, yeah. And do you know what? Like, Bacon Rush has hit the nail on the head there. All the great stuff from the show came from SmackDown. All the really bad to naff stuff, or, you know, just okay stuff, was all on the Raw side of things. R-Truth and Drew Gulak, Miz being Money in the Bank, Slap Nuts, Jeff Hardy, Elias. Like, it's all the sort of bland stuff was from the Raw side of things. And that was actually the majority of the pay-per-view.
Mm. Dustin Pylon, I really believe Tucker has a great deal of in-ring potential. Here's to hoping he finds his charisma and gets a decent 3-week push as a monster heel on Raw. Overall, I'd say Hell in a Cell was pretty damn good.
It was a pay-per-view that was saved by two incredible WWE Match of the Year contenders.
And you've got to enjoy something like that. I'm afraid for Tucker, is all I can say.
Yeah.
Let's do this whole show. The kickoff show was Drew Gulak taking on R-Truth. And R-Truth won, did a few John Cena moves. Drew Gulak is incredible. And he is stuck in the 24/7 title picture.
Yeah, poor old Drew Gulak. That's my only note on this. Drew deserves better.
Now, the main show kicked off, Freudian blowjob, with Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso inside Hell in a Cell in an I Quit match for the Blue Universal Championship. And as soon as this match started, I was like, Randy's winning. Randy's winning in the main event, or Brock Lesnar is turning up and causing a double DQ. And they, honestly, I was legit in tears watching this match this morning. It was spine tingling. I had to stop. I had to make myself a glass of water to cool down. Everything in this match, to me, at least, because I've seen some people say it's too long and, you know, 30 minutes for a match with no fans. Yeah, I can see it. Some people might get bored. I, however, was on the edge of my seat throughout. I was hooked. I was into the characters. I was into the drama. And all the while, I was like, you're setting up something, WWE. You're setting up something that you won't be able to deliver on, because I can't see how you get out of this. I just see Jey Uso saying, I quit, which, you know, it kind of just not buries him, but it undoes somewhat all the great work they've done, because Roman Reigns just dominated him for the latter part of the match. Jey Uso almost had it won. But the finish was a masterpiece of booking that just superseded everything I thought that was possible. It put together all of the loose threads and made it greater than the sum of its parts. I cannot say enough good things about this match. It's my favorite WWE match of the year. quite unabashedly, 5 frickin' stars.
Just as a point of clarity, because there's been some confusion in the chat, you said Velveteen, not Velveteen.
Mm.
When they're describing Velveteen. That beer. Velveteen, T-Y, not Velveteen.
No.
Like you, I cannot say enough good things about this match. It was a freaking masterpiece of storytelling. I loved their match at Clash of Champions, but this leveled up to the nth degree. It was just, and what was kind of remarkable, and I think there's, because this match certainly split opinions in our show that we, in the live reactions we did last night. I think there were a lot of people who really, really liked it, but there were some people who really did not like it. And I think the people who really did not like it because these two did about 3 wrestling moves in 30 minutes.
It's a Paul Heyman match.
Well, exactly, yeah. But like those moves were spears and splashes and drive-bys and all this sort of stuff. Oh, Roman did a suplex quite early on. But like it wasn't about a match of moves, because that was what the Bayley Banks match was. That was a match of moves and storytelling. Whereas this was all about the characters and the characters diving into this story that they have crafted together. And it's a great, great story. It's a very simple story. But the moment when Jay choked out Roman with the strap, and I went, oh, if this was any other match, he'd be the champion right now. He'd have won. And well, then
if this was any other hardcore match, the match would have been called off. If it was
even in Hell in a Cell. But yeah, he would have won, though. He'd have won by the fact that he couldn't compete. He'd be the champion. And then Roman choked him out. And the look on Roman's face when he realized he can't say I quit now was just absolutely spine-tingling stuff. The drive-by into the steel steps, the referee going to throw out the match, and Roman Reigns grabbing the referee being like, you don't get to end this. This match only ends when he says I quit and he acknowledges me as the tribal chief. The way the microphones were picking up all the dialogue in this, Paul Heyman selling it on the outside, SmackDown and Raw general manager Adam Pearce running down at one point to get into the ring. Every single person in this match did an amazing job. The finish was sublime. Of Jimmy, so like the finish was Jimmy Uso comes down to the ring to protect Jay. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to kill Jimmy. Oh no, he's going to kill Jimmy as well. So Jimmy's there, and all of a sudden, Roman starts crying. Like legit tears, he's crying. And Jimmy is just like, dude, we can work this out. We're family. We love you. We don't know who this man you've come is, but we can sort this out. And Roman looks and goes, I don't know who I am. I don't like this man that I've become. I don't like this. Which plays into the fact that throughout the match, he kept telling Jay, I don't want to be doing this, but you're making me do this. And then he puts Jimmy in the guillotine, starts choking him out. And Jay says, I quit on behalf of his brother so that Roman will let go of the hold. And you're like, oh my God, what an absolutely genius moment that is. Anyway, what a genius finish to this match. Love it, love it, love it. This match can't get any better. And then it got better because Roman walks up the ramp, and who's there? Freaking Afrin Seeker are there. They put the lay on him. They acknowledge him as the tribal chief and the head of the family. I mean, the Shield's looking a bit ropey these days, but it looked pretty. It was such a cool, cool sight. And Roman standing there with his belt raised above his head, the Usos in the ring, who are now in servitude to their tribal chief, and the head shrinkers behind him, and Paul Heyman just off of the back with, you know, his hand over his mouth, just cannot believe what he's seeing. I was in raptures with this match, and it should have been the main event.
I love that end. I love everything about it. I love every single bit in this match. And that main, the post-match particularly, when he goes up and the Wild Samoans are there. And I thought, you know, oh, they're going to challenge him. You know, usually these sorts of angles, the family are like, what the hell are you doing here? You've gone too far. But then for his father and his uncle to put the wreath thing round his neck and confirm him as the tribal chief after what he just did, it's like all of a sudden, I'm not thinking about Roman Reigns, this dastardly wrestling heel. I'm thinking about Roman Reigns and this fascinating character that comes from a lineage of just such a tough, brutal world where in this tribal society, the big dog is honored. It's not like, and you got to think, Roman knows that as a character. And that's a huge source of conflict for him internally, because he's thinking, I've got to beat up these two guys I love, Jimmy and Jay, but I have to do it for my father and my family and the elders. Like, I've got to do it because that's the way it is where I come from. And it's just, it's like a mob boss style of execution. I can't say enough good things about it. I also think, you've said everything I was going to say. I just echo everything you said. Also, I think this match is made better by no fans.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, actually. Yeah, that's an interesting idea, actually, that it is. So because, and it's helped by the fact that the crowd mics are up. So the crowd mics, rather, the ring mics are up, so you can hear the conversation. That is helped because you can lower down the crowd sound in the mix, and you can really pick up on the things that you want, that they want you to hear, the conversation in the ring that they want you to hear. So I completely agree with you on that. The other moment that I actually forgot, I just remembered then, that was one of my favorite moments of this, is after Roman wins and he's looking down at Jimmy and Jay, and he just takes the tear from his eye that he was crying earlier, just wipes it on his chest like it meant nothing to him.
Oh, but it does.
I know.
It does mean something to him.
It was magnifique.
It's like bringing the Wild Samoans out at the end makes Roman feel a bit like a victim of culture himself. And that's what I love about it. It's like this is a bully who's been created by a situation. I just, fantastic. I'm sure we'll have a lot of divided opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the chat has been a bit frosty during our praising of that, because as I said, the people who did not like this match, kind of a bit like Debonair Dinner, the people who did not like it really did not like it, and they're, you know, almost upset the people that really liked it. So, you know, let's all be supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. Let's be nice and friendly in the chats. As I said, I totally get why someone didn't like this match, because if your style of wrestling that you like is people doing moves and, you know, having a wrestling match, this probably isn't going to be for you, because as I said, they did do four moves in 30 minutes.
Also, the guillotine looks like a killer move now. I feel like he's got Akkad has been trying to get over this camel clutch for 2 years now, and Roman gets over a guillotine in just a night, really.
It's a very lovely pronunciation of you as well. A guillotine.
A guillotine.
A guillotine.
Guillotine. I've always said guillotine.
It's like, do you remember when I once told you?
With me.
Remember that time when I was like, oh yeah, Green Lantern Corps. And you're like, there's Green Lantern Corps, you div.
So after that, very tough act to follow. So wisely, they didn't really, was Elias versus Jeff Hardy. They had a bit of a match, usual Jeff Hardy clumsy style. Jeff Hardy is getting up to the ring post, not the top turnbuckle, but the ring post, to hit a swanton bomb on Elias, who's draped over the apron. Thank God Elias moved. Jeff got down and Elias goes to get the guitar. Jeff gets it, hits Elias with the guitar instead. DQ win to Elias, which means a point to this guy.
No, it's a point to this guy.
A point to you, God damn it. And yeah, they... That this feud will continue, but it's only a week old, really. This was just another angle.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's either a week old or 8 months old, depending on sort of how you look at it, because, you know, the story started before he got injured. But it's I was genuinely surprised they didn't just give Elias the win, you know, because he's got this album to promote that's out today. He's doing the celebration for it tonight. I legit thought they were just going to give him the win. Plus, there was that report that he was the latest Vince's high on Raw star backstage. I thought maybe he'll just get a big win here, but nope. It was just a match. And Sean's got a question for you, which is how many rounds are there?
How about two rounds? How about your first ever two-time Jam That Champion?
Also, thank you for having me on your show last night, Sean.
After that, we got Otis versus Miz. Again, that the match itself was a match. I like Otis a lot. I think his style of wrestling is very funny. Mm-hmm. Miz, you know, I've kind of got a bit sick of Miz at the moment since I've got to watch him every week on Raw. It's only been 2 weeks, Christ. And that John Morrison's trying to interfere. The referee sends him to the back. That turns out to be a little sort of red herring spot because, and as soon as Morrison was sent to the back, Tucker started to position himself in front of the hard cam in a weird way. And I was like,
he was there for too long.
You're turning on him. You've given this away to anyone who watches wrestling for more than three nights. And Otis is on the ropes. Tucker clocks him with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Miz surprised this wasn't a pre-planned thing between them all, although I fully expect them to reveal it was a pre-planned thing on Raw tonight. Ha ha ha, we got you. But that doesn't make any sense. Otis loses the Money in the Bank briefcase. At least Otis didn't put the Money in the Bank briefcase up willingly, because that's such a stupid thing for baby faces to do. Instead, there was a contrived, idiotic legal thing to get the briefcase off him instead. So at least there's that. But yes, we're left with the match was what it was. The finish was what it was. I don't know how you really book Otis with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
And this was the problem. Like, it's not Otis's fault that he was not a great Money in the Bank holder. It is the company's fault for putting it on him with no plan. They put the Money in the Bank briefcase on him because they thought, well, that'll be funny. The fat man can't climb a ladder. It'll be hilarious if he's champion. Didn't have a plan. There was just, it's what we said about Ali as Retribution leader. It was a moment. It's a cool moment, but there's no follow-up to that moment. Otis winning Money in the Bank was a moment with zero follow-up plans. And it sucks for poor old Otis in that, because now because I put up a tweet yesterday or last night after the show being like, you know, talking about how I wasn't the right time to put the Money in the Bank title on Miz is never, because it's not 2010 anymore. We need to move on. Miz is a fantastic mid-card act. He should be nowhere near the main event picture at this point. And I got a little bit of heat for it. I got a bit of heat for saying that because people were really down on Otis being being the Money in the Bank holder because he's done nothing with it, as if that's his fault that he's done nothing with it. The other thing that people said was like, well, at least they got off the comedy character. I'm like, Miz did a bloody rap song a couple of months ago. Like, he's a comedy character. He's just a heel. I'm not down for Miz as Money in the Bank holder. I'm really not. This has just been another bad year for the Money in the Bank briefcase, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was just thinking then as you were talking that there's an easy way to book Otis with the briefcase, and it's how you usually book baby faces holding the lunchbox, I guess, whatever it is sometimes. And that is, they announce they're going to cash in advance. I think if Otis just said, I'm sick of you, Roman Reigns, bullying everyone around here, SmackDown doesn't really have any babyface challenges either. You just say, I challenge you to a match at TLC or at Royal Rumble, because Royal Rumble isn't a pay-per-view that needs to be sold on a title match. The Rumble match itself does it for everyone. And you just make Otis look good in defeat. And maybe you give him a bit more of a serious edge. And it freshens up Roman a bit because he's got something to do away from Jey Uso. The Usos can get involved. But, you know, they put it on Miz instead, which is just really uninspiring.
Yeah, it's really uninspiring. He's like, it's a bit of a shame. Really feel bad for Otis in all of this. And I'm in agreement with you of what they could have done with Otis there. But like, now we're in a situation where SmackDown's Otis is feuding with Raw's Tucker, you know, 2 weeks after they just told you the brand split is the most important thing in this company and you're never going to see these stars on the same brand ever again. 2 weeks later, we've got an interpromotional feud between these two people.
This company. However, also, this company. Because after that, we got Sasha Banks versus Bayley, which was... This is a difficult thing to say, because I'm going to compare it to Tanahashi and Okada. But there was this moment in Tanahashi and Okada's 8-year feud, last year I think it was, where all these perfect things aligned for Okada. Maybe it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So it was like his 13th. Not only was he going to break the most consecutive reigns of the IWGP heavyweight title, he was going to break another record with it. Tanahashi was facing him. He was the guy whose record Okada would be breaking. It's like all of these things that, and I know long-term booking, sometimes things just fall into your lap like that. And you look at this feud, one that's been going on for 6 years, all the way back into NXT. And when you've got that much history between characters, stuff like this sometimes falls into place. So you've got Bayley having the SmackDown women's title for over a year. Sasha Banks never having won that title. Bayley not having been in Hell in a Cell. And Sasha being in all the Hell in a Cell women's matches in WWE ever and not winning a single one. Add to that all of the history and emotion between these two characters tagging together, feuding in kind of on the main roster, mostly in NXT. And it all, like, SmackDown did that justice in the way they've booked these two over the last, well, since WrestleMania, really. It's been fantastic, and it's so nice to see stuff done so well, and then the climax befits that build.
Yeah, going into this, like, I thought that Bayley was going to retain here because I just wanted more of this. Like, I wanted that Sasha Banks win to be this big moment. And more for me, because this was that moment. This was that climactic moment you want. And actually, in the rematch, you can build such a simple story out of this, which is Sasha Banks, you've never successfully defended a title in your life on your own. You've always needed me to successfully defend a title, talking about the women's championships. So you can easily build a rematch out of this, where again, it's a perfect storm coming together of Sasha Banks now having to beat Bayley so she can prove a point that she can defend a singles title. Their TakeOver Brooklyn match is one of the few wrestling matches that have made me cry. Like, it made me cry when I was 30 years old. It makes me cry now as a 35-year-old. I think it is a perfect wrestling match. I think it's a perfect story, and I love it so much. I don't know if this topped the Brooklyn match, but what was brilliant about it is that it perfectly complemented the Brooklyn match. There were so many awesome callbacks to all the stuff they did now, and the Iron Man match that they did, you know, at the TakeOver following. I loved this. I loved that story then. And I loved how it's kind of played through. It's not always been perfect. Do you remember their babyface tag title run? And they were feuding and they were best friends and they had the Dr. Shelby stuff. Like, all of that's a bit naff. But this last year, they have been the MVPs of the lockdown era of WWE for me. And this was a perfect, perfect encapsulation of that. A fantastic Hell in a Cell match filled with really inventive stuff throughout. Not all of it worked. The Mecha Kendo stick that Bayley tried to build.
What were they trying to do there? Bayley got two kendo sticks, and earlier Sasha had lodged a kendo stick in one of the spoke holes in the steel steps and one of the holes in the netting of the cage. I'm like, I've never seen that done before. Don't really know how much it's going to hurt because it will just ping off as soon as you flick it. But hey, that's interesting. So Bayley later on gaffer taped two kendo sticks together to lodge into the cell wall again, and the sort of metal support beam underneath the ring, and it just sagged in the middle, and then she tripped over it, and no one ever went back to it.
My favorite part of that, and it sucks to laugh or something about this because I love this match so much, but Bayley looked at the referee and the camera just caught her full on saying, I'm too sweaty, I can't do this. Because she couldn't get the tape off.
I love your sex tape.
So that bit was a bit lame, and it didn't quite work. And then her tripping over it really didn't help matters. But everything else in this match was absolutely perfection, and I love it. Even with that moment, I would still give this 5 stars. It was my favorite match of the night. I loved every single thing about this. I wanted my girl Bayley to retain. I really, really did. But that moment when Sasha Banks locked in the bank statements through the steel chair and she was hammering down on her hands, just like she did at TakeOver, I was like, I love this match. I love both of these people. And I'm so happy to see Sasha Banks as the SmackDown Women's Champion. And I cannot friggin' wait for their rematch.
Yeah, it's with the spot, that was really the only spot that went wrong. Everything else went right, and they were being so inventive. Like, if Jeff Hardy and RVD did this match, there would be significantly more screw-ups.
Oh yeah, totally.
And even in the prime of their careers, that they just, like, there were so many little bits. And what I loved about the the way they told the story and the conflict through physicality and a clash of styles, really, is Sasha has been in these matches before, and she used that experience to her credit. So she was using the walls. She was using the Hell in a Cell structure, like powerbombing Bayley off the apron into the cell wall. This brilliant bit where Bayley is on the cell wall and there's a table sort of done up in a, what do you call, like, in a ramp style, pushing her up against the wall. And Sasha runs up that to hit a Meteora. Just great, great, great stuff like that. I'd also like to say, hey, there's almost 3,000 people watching this stream. Thanks, folks. If you're not already, smash that subscribe button. You know, smash it. That's what the YouTubers say.
Exactly. Adam Blompier, you know, he's no stranger to the YouTube. We used his verbiage last night on the stream. If you could smash that like button as well, I think that would be an ace thing to do. So, yeah, smash it while you're there.
But overall, I thought this was a terrific match. I loved it. I think it's, you know, the only reason I gave Roman and Jay 5 stars and this one like 4 3/4 is because Roman and Jay legit made me cry. I think I gravitate more towards storytelling, character, stuff like that, in what I like in wrestling. That's why I was just so overwhelmed with the opener. Here, it was that it did have all that, but it was, like you said, it was more move focused. There wasn't as, like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing because there was still a lot of emotion here, but there wasn't the same amount of emotion as Roman Reigns breaking down crying. So I gave this 4 3/4, but that is no, like, that's not me being down on it. It's like one of the best matches in WWE of the year.
This is, I mean, as you and I would say, this is a Kong Skull Island situation where I said it was my film of the year. And because you liked it just slightly less than I did, it sounded like you really didn't like the film.
Yeah.
We got so many emails like, why did you hate the film so much? I didn't. I thought it was really good.
But yes, that's that absolutely terrific match. And Sasha is the SmackDown Women's Champion. Hopefully they do the rematch.
Yeah, for me, both matches, both the SmackDown title matches on this show, in fact, actually both the SmackDown matches really, were both 5-star masterpieces for me, but 5-star masterpieces for completely different reasons. And that's what I love about wrestling. We often bemoan WWE for their lack of variety, and these matches were different from each other, and that made it so much better to watch. It actually made the show feel better. I'm all in for it. Cannot wait to see them do it again. And it's very often as well, very rarely, that we say in WWE, God, I can't wait to see a rematch. Can't wait for them to do the automatic rematch clause here.
After that, as the final match we'll talk about very quickly, is Bobby Lashley versus Slapjack, where Bobby Lashley beat up Slapjack for 3 minutes. There was a tiny, tiny bit of offense from Slapjack there, and then made him tap in the Lashley lock. And then Retribution came in to beat up Lashley, but the Hurt Business ran down and Retribution ran away.
I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there, because what happened here is that Lashley beat up Slapjack convincingly. Poor old Samoa Joe, Tom Phillips and Byron Saxon having to say Slapjack as if it's a legit wrestler name. But, oh, great move there by Slapjack. So Lashley taps him out to the Lashley lock, right? And then Ali shows up with T-Bar and Mace. The big lads get into the ring and they start wailing on Bobby Lashley. And you think to yourself, aha. So Retribution, they've lost their third match in a row out of the 3 matches they've had. But it's all right. They're going to get their heat back by laying out Bobby Lashley before the Hurt Business get back down to even up the odds. Cool, right? Ali puts his hand through, does his little lights out thing. You know, here it is. This is how they get their heat back. And then Bobby Lashley fights off both T-Bar and Mace on his own. The Hurt Business run down. I'm like, you don't need to. I wouldn't bother, lads. Lashley's got this. He's actually fine. He's all right. Ali gets into the ring. The Hurt Business get in the ring. Ali looks at them and goes, oh, sorry, lads. Actually, I don't really want to mess with you. I'm quite scared of you. He gets out the ring. And despite the fact they now have the numbers advantage, because Mia Yim's out there as well, they run away like scared children. How are you supposed to take this group seriously? And the worst thing about this is that Ali's going to cut a promo on Raw tonight being like, we're a serious group. We're a threat to this company. I'm like, you are effing not, mate. You've lost 3 matches in a row. You are not a threat to this company. You are a terrible mid-card act that this company has zero faith in. And I feel so, so sorry for each and every one of you.
But other than that, I really liked this show. I gave it 4 out of 5 because, you know, there was an hour of in-ring wrestling, which is sort of equates to about an hour 20, almost half the pay-per-view, of absolutely brilliant, both storytelling and in-ring wrestling from WWE. And it is so nice to say that, because contrary to what you might think, we don't hate WWE. We grew up with WWE. I love WWE deep down. It's just, it's so inconsistent and bad the majority of the time. So I savor moments like this. I loved it. I loved it. It's really nice to be able to genuinely praise WWE without a tongue in my cheek.
Dude, like, I completely agree with your 4 out of 5 ranking for this. How could you not give a show with 2 legit 5-star matches a 4 out of 5 rating? Even if everything else in the show was a bit butt and not or not particularly great or a bit bland, those two matches would easily make this. If you've not watched the show, go out of your way to watch those matches. Absolutely phenomenal stuff.
Well, let's do all of our super chats before we get out of here. And of course, if you haven't already, smash it. Smash that subscribe button.
Oh, smash it. Smash it like that.
Smash it. Smash the likes.
Smash it. Smash it.
Andy Buckley. I foolishly stayed tuned in until a few minutes into the Orton McIntyre match. Should have turned off after the excellent Banks Bailey match.
Yeah.
The Orton McIntyre match wasn't bad. Maybe watch it separate to the rest of the pay-per-view and you won't be so burnt out by Hell in a Cell. Lamari Eshnar? I've been waiting years for a Bloodline faction. Just imagine a double superkick spear simultaneous finisher. So that's Roman and the Usos.
If you can time it. And do you know what? If there were 3 people I would trust to get that timed perfectly every single time, it's the Usos and Roman Reigns.
Do you not think spear, splash, splash might be another way?
Also works.
Bernalee Reuters, Sasha Banks is the mother of hell. Amazing match.
Such a great match. Loved it.
Zachary Jenkins, do you guys think someone is going to take it off Miz? I hope so.
I think he's going to try and cash it in, and he's going to do it unsuccessfully, and it's back to the mid-card with him.
Anton H, are we getting Reigns, Rock, and Edge Orton at Mania? I don't think Rock's coming back. I think he's running for president in 2024.
But I think that's what they would like to do. I think they would love it to be Rock Roman at Mania and Edge Orton at Mania as well. All those fresh new stars getting the Mania main event rub.
Andy Buckley, quite sad that the feud between Bayley and Banks may be over as their superb storyline. Who else in the women's roster could do such a good storyline? Well, actually, quite a lot of them. They're not booked in that way to be able to do so. The Gecko 17, personally don't understand the hate for what they are doing with Retribution. By most people's metrics, they died on arrival. Why not just use them to elevate the Hurt Business and your United States champion?
Well, I mean, you kind of wanted them to be a big group, right? Like, if you're going to create a new act, you hopefully want to use that act to create some stars as opposed to just put over an act that was already over to begin with.
I do agree with Gecko, though. That's what I've been saying for about a month now. They're a mid-card act. Yeah, everyone's behaving as though they're this top-tier thing. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Ollie, you're missing the big picture. Just wait until the real leader is revealed.
Joseph Tyrrell, 3 great title matches last night. Enjoyed them all. Drew's run was the one I enjoyed most since Punk's. Miz as Money in the Bank has me slightly worried, though. Drew did have a great championship run.
He really did, yeah.
Pablo Arzapalo Trejo wasn't as bad as Backlash 2016. This Week in Wrestling, Gargano Priest, Candice EO, Omega Penta, and Volta Drogonov. Greetings from Mexico.
I think he's just talking about these are things that are coming up this week.
Oh, right. Yeah, geez. Yeah, Omega Pentagon. it wasn't as bad as Backlash 2016 main event. Few things are they? Valid Mamadipudi, a show so good to watch. Luke reviewed it twice. Hashtag FTF. You son of a bitch.
WTFDF.
Anderson Floyd, I loved how Roman realized that the only way to get Jay to give up is the way he got Jimmy to give up.
Yeah, I was just so beautiful. Like, I can't make this guy say I quit, so I'm just going to lock the guillotine on this lad and he'll quit that way. Love it.
Nathan O, I'm still recovering from Roman Jay. I'm still getting tingles talking about it, honestly. Injection 2K, people on Twitter didn't care for the dialogue Roman does during his matches. I love it. It's not just trash talk. He's talking down to his opponents. I totally agree. I really like it.
Love it. Yeah. Mm.
Metal Bear, I was enamored with the Roman match. The psychology was off the charts. I'm a fan of the NXT-style wrestling, but sometimes storytelling and promos are just as mind-blowing and important.
It's one of the reasons why I love AEW, because you do have that lovely mix of all of that.
Zach Robinson with a very generous super chat. Thank you very much. Roman J genuinely left me speechless. An absolute masterpiece of storytelling. Can't wait to see where they go from here. Question for Ollie, as I had to ask Petey Bella last night.
Do you want to ask the question?
How many rounds were there to Hell in a Cell?
How many rounds were there, Ollie? How many rounds were there?
Frankie Ray, I think the funniest part, was the Bayley Banks match where Bayley asked the ref for help with the duct tape, and he said, "No, I will not help you."
I'm too sweaty.
Amro, do you think any of the matches will get 5 stars? I don't think Meltzer will give them 5 stars, no. Just because I listened to his review earlier and he didn't. You can tell when he wants to give something 5 stars.
Oh yeah,
but he looks for something different than us. That's not like saying Dave Meltzer doesn't know anything about wrestling. He knows a hell of a lot.
He knows more than we've all forgotten. Jake Weeks, will Cena have one more run in WWE? Maybe he'll. God, I saw that so much last night. People say, "Ah, oh, John Cena can come back, and that can be the WrestleMania program: John Cena versus Randy Orton."
I do think he will have one more run. I don't think he'll ever go heel.
I mean, you pull that face, but that's what you booked for your first show with your draft picks that you had. Keith says, why do you think Vince is breaking up every tag team? Usos, New Day, Heavy Machinery. Usos, New Day and Usos are the only real teams left. Every other team is just random pairs because Vince doesn't care about tag team wrestling and hasn't done ever. He's never liked tag team wrestling. Yeah. Andy Buckley, Orton and Edge for the belt. Hashtag pushing new talent. Like, Orton Edge 3 does not need the title. I don't think Orton needs the title, really, either at this point. Kevin says, I think the Usos won't be fully heel. No, neither do I. They'll integrate against their will to do Roman's dirty work. Can't wait for it. I also hope that WWE gives Sasha a good run as champion. I think they're going to have a lot of faith and going to give Sasha a big push, particularly with Bianca Belair over on SmackDown as well. Metal Bear, great opener to the show. What if they debut as a faction to go against Roman and the Usos?
What if who debuts? Huey. Undisputed Era, yeah.
United Emirates.
Yeah, we can't go to Saudi. Let's bring them over here. It's not something that gets me going, weirdly.
Yeah, me neither, yeah. I think the time to have called the Undisputed Era has kind of been and gone. I think they're sort of their hottest time as an act is past. Mr. Degan says, I'd still take The Miz as Mr. Money in the Bank over Otis any day of the week. At least it feels like Miz wants to win a title, whereas Otis was the worst part of any storyline he was a part of. Sonya Mandy didn't even need him.
Well, I thought Sonya Mandy was very good. I liked Otis. I'm sorry you feel that way.
Zachary Jenkins, Mr. Davis, you said that you've seen everything in Hell in a Cell, but you've not seen Hardy bring a ladder to the top of the cell and jump off of it.
Don't give him ideas, Zachary.
Alpha Wolf, so Miz cashed in on Orton, 22nd November 2010. What day is Survivor Series fallen this year? 22nd November. Dear God, please no. Do you know what I think they're going to do as well? They're going to have Miz Girl on the Thunderdome. Going to track her down, and they're going to have her on the Thunderdome to do the face again. Because this company's stuck in a time loop.
Now Miz has the briefcase. This has to happen. It'll be foolish. It's a decade. It'll be foolish not to play off it.
Oh, God, Miz is WWE champion. Chuck Cassis says, don't watch WWE since Black Wednesday, except for the matches you tell me to watch. Sad that WWE is so bad that glimmers of 5 stars every blue moon. Hey, take them when you can, though.
I gave the Firefly Funhouse match at Mania 5 stars as well.
Mm-hmm. Bo Hill, are the Usos the biggest baby faces in WWE?
No.
Who would you say is?
Drew McIntyre, Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio. But there's not many.
No, there's not many. But I would disagree. I think the Usos are way more over as babyfaces than Drew is at the moment.
Okay.
Demetrius Reese, is Mustafa Ali the wrestler with the best promos and the worst booking? # jam that jam. He's got really good promos, man. Like, he's given naff material and he always makes it sound really convincing.
Yeah, but a lot of people have a really good promos with bad booking in WWE.
That's ten a penny. Josh Burke, can anyone else see WWE filling a WrestleMania-sized arena with TV screens if they can't have fans by then?
No. They just keep it at the Thunderdome. There's no point to add more screens. It's madness.
Or WrestleVotes put out a report today that they're looking to come December, they'll be in different arenas. They'll be done with the Thunderdome and they'll be having fans in attendance. Mm. Charles Berg, let's mix up some wrestler names. Rat Middle, Mantino Sorella, Kofi Kingston, Daniel Dyrant, Triple T, and Knucket Knight.
I love that just for Kofi Kingston.
Yeah. Bonzo for Life, Roman and MJF are Hollywood material talent.
I've seen a few Roman movies now, The Wrong Missy and Hobbs and Shaw. He's not Hollywood material talent yet.
It's not quite how The Rock just sort of walked in and was like, oh yeah, you are a Hollywood star. My favorite description I've seen of The Miz now is he's a second-rate MJF. Tyler Salters says, first ever super chat. Who do you think, or what do you think will be match of the year? Roman, Hell in a Cell, or AEW Revolution tag match? The tag match. Without question. Absolutely without question.
There's a reason I've been qualifying everything with best WWE match of the year.
Yeah.
This is a super chat from last night, apparently. Rackshit Canna. Creepy Bella is way too happy after the win. Speaking of Pete Bella there.
Oh, yeah. He looked great. Looked so, so good.
Renee, congrats, Mr. Davis. You got it next time, Luke. No, he doesn't. The next one, remember, folks, is AEW Full Gear. It's me versus Luke for the title.
Do you know what? And I'm going to win that title back. And I'm going to have it on my shoulder for every stream because I care about that championship. Not like Mr. Davis, who's won the belt. And the first thing he does is just put it on the floor for a whole stream.
It had its own broadcast. It phoned in from a remote location.
Only picking it up when he wants to prove a point that he's a champion. I'm a champion of the people, of Mr. Davis, just in it for himself.
Does your belt actually glimmer in the light? Can you see that?
Well, I don't have a belt at the moment because I lost my Quizmania Tag Championships because of you as well.
Total blurred. I've never seen Luke so upset. Need more of that. Tyler Woodward. Mr. Davis, I find it sickening that you didn't do the punishment. Q-tip deserves better. # Q-tip deserves better. Nugget still sucks. Also, can you say Team Trent, Mumble World, 444 Life?
Can you say screw Team Trent, not just say their name?
I did the opposite then. Screw Team Trent, Mumble World, 444 for Life. Ricky Bobby, Ollie, congrats on winning the championship. Now show it the respect it deserves and wear it or display it.
Yeah.
It's quite
unbelievable. It is heavy, isn't it?
At least Luke wore it. Much love from New Jersey. Tyler Woodward, I'm too sweaty. I can't do this. Title of Gorilla Press and Ollie Davis's sex tape. Also, screw team, the MWO will see you at Survivor Series. Oh, God, we haven't got another storyline being built in the comments, have we?
People are working out their own angle through our super chats.
Thank you, Jonathan Suazo, for your donation and no message. And finally, John McNeil, Big E wins the Rumble, and New Day versus the Bloodline for the reunification of the tag titles and the Universal Championship. I love that, but not with the reunification, because they've got separate shows. And Darren Moody, Miz will sit at ringside for Orton of Reigns' match at Survivor Series with the briefcase.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.